Hallelujah.
He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And as we talked about earlier, throughout the ages, people have tried to stamp Him out. It had never happened yet. What excites me is it seems like that takes something like that to start people starting to get involved and saying, no, I still have a vote in this, and I'm going to stand. Amen? We need to be heard. We need to rule and reign in this life. Amen? Before we get started, I want to tell you about what's happening, particularly with me. I've got two young men. I don't know what God's up to, but I'm excited to find out. I've got a young man who is a descendant from aristocracy in Africa. He's from Ghana. His mother was the princess. His background is Jamaican and, you know, from Ghana. God has brought this young man to be an employee of mine, and he's hungry for God. He's got questions. God's touching his life. I've got another young man who is Ethiopian. Again, now, I don't know about you guys. I don't know that I'm necessarily uncomfortable with it, but I find it a little strange that young men are attracted to an older man. They have a desire to be around him. How many know that can't be because of anything that I can do? It's got to be because of Him. You see, folks, it's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know what God's got up His sleeve, but I'm excited because I've got two young men that God has just all of a sudden, after 4 years, brought into my life that are hungry for the Word of God. This young man, Carlos Amawako, sat with at lunch with me the other day. And as we began to share, he went into tears and began to reveal some things to me where he's been touched by a child that he wanted to terminate, born out of wedlock. But he's made a decision. He's going to marry this girl. He loves this girl. And this little baby brought him back to his right senses. And as he looks at this child, he sees the hope and the joy, and he feels the joy that this little child brings. God's moving, folks. If we're aware and we're listening to Him, there's things in every one of our lives, right now today or just around the corner, people that He's going to begin to draw in. Amen?
Amen?
I've got an anticipation, folks. We know the day and time Jesus is going to come. Now, don't shut me off. I don't mean I know the calendar date or the hour. But His Word says, when we begin to rule and reign, and I'm not going to go any further than that right now. That's part of my message. But I want you to pray for Carlos's son. He's very financially strapped. His mother died 1 year ago. He doesn't have the ability to receive the funds that are from his kingdom. He's lived a very wealthy life until he came here. He's been here most of his life because of things going on in Africa. But we need to pray for that little child. How many know it's God's will to raise that child up? Amen? Hallelujah. So will you agree with me? Amen? Father, we lift up that little child, that son, that blessing that You gave, Father. He's Your plan. Doesn't make any difference how He came to this earth. Your Word says that we're not born of the will of man or the will of flesh or by blood, but we're born by the will of God. It's Your will that that child is here. And we know, Lord, because we know the wiles of the devil, we know his plans, his traits, his actions, that he comes to steal and kill and destroy, to take away what You've blessed and those who You've blessed in this earth, to destroy them and delete them from the face of the earth. We stand in the gap for Carlos. We stand in the gap for that little boy. We send the Word right now and say, in Jesus' name, be whole, be touched by the Word and the will of God, and by the bruises, blood, and stripes of our Savior and Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord. We receive it done. We say it is finished and it is good. And we thank You and give You all praise and all honor and all glory. And that people will see that it was Your hand that touched that child. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had thought last night that I was finished and had what God wanted me to have for this morning. And I was not. He dropped a couple of scriptures. I don't know how they're going to fit into the message. I'm just going to put them out there and let the Holy Spirit decide where they need to be put in this message that is for your life. Amen? I want you to turn with me for a moment to Ephesians 6:11. I looked up this one particular word in there, and I was amazed. Ephesians 6:11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." How many know what that means? The word wiles means cunning arts, deceit, craft, or trickery. That's part of it. Most of you have heard me say that any plan of the enemy, any weapon, I'll get to that. I can't say it right now. No device, no plan, or no attack will prosper. Amen? We've got the whole armor of God on. Praise the Lord. But through this, what I hear is what Ephesians talks about when it talks about the works of the flesh. How many know what witchcraft is?
Manipulation.
That's right. It's nothing more than manipulation. It's someone trying to manipulate somebody else to do, obey, and follow their will. Now, we're all smart enough to hear, know that we're not talking about God here. We're talking about anything that is outside the plan and the will of God our Father. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So the wiles are the schemes, the cunning arts, the deceit, the craft, or the trickery of the enemy. And how does he trick us? By causing our minds to go places and focus on things that we shouldn't be focusing on. How many times has everybody in this room heard Stan say that what your focus is on is what you're exalting? I don't know about you, I've tried, and I cannot exalt God when I've got my mind on other things and I'm being torn down or brought down by heaviness because I'm thinking about something that's totally not God, that God has under control. If I'll just surrender it and surrender me to Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now in Isaiah 54:17, Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn." That's talking about the words, not the person. How many know what I'm saying? This is the heritage. Oh, guess what? He's revealed part of our heritage as His servants and as His children and as His sons and heirs, amen, of the Lord. And their righteousness, the ones whose tongues rise against you, is far from me, says the Lord. Now let me tell you what a weapon is. I said, no plan, no attack, no device. A weapon is an article, a vessel, an implement, or a utensil. It's an object or an article in a general form of use. A utensil, an implement, an apparatus, a vessel, an implement used of hunting or war, an implement used of music, an implement used of labor. No labor against you will prosper. Hallelujah. It's equipment or a yoke. A yoke is equipment that we use to bridle and control oxen or horses. Furniture. A weapon can be a vessel or a receptacle, again in general use, or a vessel And it says in parentheses, boats of paper or reed. Hey, let's not get focused on that. Let's just look at this. So that means that nothing that's out there that the enemy or anybody else forms against you will prosper. Why or when? When our focus is on Him, our heart's after Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. I spoke earlier, and most of you know already, you've been hearing the news. In the meantime, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That the enemy is waging a war right now. And his war is to use people and witchcraft to manipulate us into surrendering and giving in. To goad us into giving up our hope and focusing on the nonsense that's going on in this world. Now y'all guys are looking at me like a calf at a new gate. You know, it looks like are you with me here? How many know? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, we are more than conquerors. He said, we are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Amen? Hallelujah. So that means we have nothing to fear in this life. Unless our focus gets off, right? Praise the Lord. And the thoughts came to me. I've had these before. God, what is going on? Where are you in all this? And all of a sudden I hear him say, Bill, I'm right here. I'm right here. And I've got everything under control. Amen. You see, folks, we walk by faith and not by sight. If we rely on our sight, we're going to be deceived and miss what God's doing. Right? He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Hallelujah. He's called us to rule and reign in this life and to act like we're more than conquerors. Amen? Hallelujah. And of course, many of us sometimes make it complicated. Well, how do I do that? Obey every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen? And the cool thing is, folks, that you never want to lose sight of is that we are co-laborers with Him. He doesn't hand down mandates and then say, okay, I hope you make it, and stand back and watch. What did He say? He said, call upon me in the time of trouble. I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, it's with His help. And by keeping our minds focused on Him, it's by Him laboring with us that we can will to do and do His good pleasure. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He's told us in the Word, what we need to do is diligently listen and obey. If you don't remember where that's at, go back and read Joshua 1:8 and Deuteronomy 28. It's right there. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. It says, but this know also. See, we act surprised at all this. Some people act surprised. You know, in this country, we've become so complacent and live in such a bubble that when something goes wrong, we stand back and we bat our eyes like a frog in a hailstorm and wonder, how could this happen in our country? Well, folks, it's because one of the greatest tools the enemy uses is complacency. Recently, I've heard things come out of Canada where I've got to be honest with you. I've been ashamed to even be identified with Canada. For those of you who don't know, I was born in Canada. Lived here all of my life. Enjoy the benefits of this country. I'm ashamed. But have you been listening? Have you read the paper? The party that's behind all this is now finding out that Canada's not going to lay down and accept this. They had a coup or whatever you want to call it. And they threw out the party that was in rulership and said, we're not going to let this stand without our vote being heard too. Homosexuality and gay marriages will not stand in our country without us having something to say about it. Rule and reign in this life. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I've had people ask me recently, well, Bill, what about war? Oh, honey, you better remember that wars in God's word were to cleanse and purify and to destroy the works of the enemy. And unfortunately, or praise God gratefully, He uses men to do that. Amen? We need to be praying for our president. We need to be praying for the leaders of nations, understanding that God holds kings in His hands. Amen? Hallelujah. He's in control, folks. Doesn't make you give us what you see or what you hear. I'm convinced that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities and all those other things that's mentioned in that scripture nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Now that's a promise for believers. God will love you right into hell if you want to go. He will change His love for you. But He's righteous. Unfortunately, one of the things we think about is that, and that the human beings want to rely on, is we always think everything's got to be fair according to our finite mind. And how many times have we heard the pastor say, God's not fair, He's righteous.
Right.
And it takes a revelation from God to understand that. We've been programmed, we've been taught things based on the selfishness of humanity in this earth. That's why our governments are running rampant. I'm not talking about... I don't want to focus on the government except the government of God. That's where our safety is. That's where our protection is. Even when the armies in the Bible were outnumbered many times to one, there were times when God even said... they didn't even have to fight. God, because of their praise and their worship, caused the enemy to go into confusion and to destroy themselves. What are we afraid of? Where's our focus? We sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, did you hear that, folks? Wholly lean on Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this know also in these last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And from such people turn away. This is the New King James I'm reading out of. That word perilous translates in the Greek hard to do, to take, and to approach. Hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous, harsh, fierce, and savage. Well, now that just about sums up what we see today, right? This nation has been taught over the last 20 or 30 years, since the 60s, take care of number one. We've got these well-meaning but ignorant people who are educated, doctor like Dr. Fox saying, don't spank your child, you'll damage their psyche, you know, you'll damage their self-esteem, telling us to go exactly diametrically opposed to what the Word says. I don't even know what I'm talking about. And God's Word says if you beat the child with the rod, you'll not kill him, but you'll save his soul from hell. What's more important to you? He says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Right.
Now, he may stray. We all know. In every one of our lives, at least I know several people in this room, myself included, where one of our children may have strayed a little bit. But God's in control, and he's drawing them back.
Right.
Because I'm browbeating them or whatever in my particular case? No. Because I surrendered them to God, said, God, the safest place they can be is in your hands. That's for free. Hallelujah. In verse 5 it says, having a form of godliness but denying the power, or denying its power, and from such people turn away. The word denying, obviously, is to deny. To deny someone or something or oneself. To discard one's own interests to prove false or to prove false to himself. To act entirely unlike himself. To deny, and I didn't look these words up, folks. Hopefully somebody here knows what these mean. But it says to abnegate or abjure. Not to accept, to reject, to refuse something offered. God's offered us everything. He's offered us life, and that more abundantly. He's offered us His prosperity. He's offered us having our needs met by His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Why would you want to do it any other way? Selfishness, self-righteousness, and this world is full of it. How many know that a city that's set on a hill, its light can't be hid? God's light's out there, folks. It's shining bright as long as we continue to do what we're supposed to do. Amen? I'm excited. God's brought, all of a sudden, just about the time I'm ready in my natural thinking to throw in the towel and say, you know what, Lord, I need a new job. I don't want to do this anymore. And then God brings two people in here and says, Bill, I'm not done yet. And I'm going to listen to what he says, not what my desires are. I don't know what he's got in mind, but I'll tell you what, this thing's starting out with a bang. And I'm in for the long haul. I'm going to see this to the end. Because I'm telling you something, God's going to get glory out of this one way or another.
Right.
So what choice do I have? The only rational choice, the only logical choice? Do it God's way. Do it God's way. I've come too far to turn back or to do it any other way. That's not even an option in my life. How about you? In verse 5, the word power is the word we understand from Luke 10:19, and it's the Greek word dunamis, and it means strength, power, ability, inherent power. Did you hear that? Inherent. We're heirs, right? Hallelujah. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Power in performing miracles. Moral power and excellence of soul. The power of influence which belong to riches and wealth. Who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills too? That's more wealth than any man on this earth has ever even fathomed in his mind. And God owns it all because he created it all. Power and resources arising from numbers. We read in the book, in the Bible, about the time when the prayer was prayed, open his eyes. And his eyes were opened, and he saw that there were more that were with them than in the enemy's camp. That sends chills up and down my spine. Power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and hopes, or hosts. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, or of the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one, and it's God. That word knowledge means precise and correct knowledge. It's used in the New Testament of the knowledge of things ethical and divine. Sounds like God, doesn't it? Praise you, Lord. How many people here, like myself, have had times in their life where we wondered why we don't hear from God? We pray and we cry out. We want to know, I mean, God, where are you? What's wrong? I'm reminded of an old song that I used to sing. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Just waiting patiently in line. Of all things God is, He is a gentleman and a spirit. He won't violate your will. Man, when you invite Him to come in, He'll come in. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to submit this to you. The reason we don't hear from God or hear more from God is we choose to reject or ignore what He says. What are you talking about, Bill? God has laid out plans and commands in His Word for our benefit. I mean, know what I'm talking about. And the only thing we need to do to walk in those and be successful is obey them, right?
Right.
Rocket science. I don't know. We choose to ignore or reject what He says to us, and we refuse to accept what He says to us or agree with Him. This occurs because it does not fit with our lives, our likes or dislikes, our plans that we have in mind, or it doesn't fit with our ideas of or about the way things ought to be for ourselves. How many know that people have agendas?
Yep.
Unless their life is surrendered to God, they have the wrong agendas. If God blesses you in some way, don't worship the gift more than the Creator. Worship the Creator and watch those things prosper. If not, then watch them crumble around your eyes, right in front of your face, around your life. You stand there and wonder, God, what happened? Where are you? This was your plan. Yeah. But it stopped being my plan, and I stopped being able to fulfill it when you stepped in and took over. Ow. Ow. How many resemble that? Come on now. God knows. You can't lie to Him. I'm not the only one. If it doesn't align itself with our comfort zone, then we reject it. Well, that can't be God, because that doesn't line up with my thoughts, the way I think things ought to be. You can't run out and run your business on Sunday when God's command is, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and expect God to bless it. That's double-minded. That's foolishness. That's just one example. Every one of us can pick things out of our own lives, can't we? What He says doesn't fit with our plans. I remember, and most of you know, there's a few of you who are new and who don't know, in the early years of my life as a Christian, I was saved at the age of 13, knew I was called to the ministry. So I'm out there, and I'm waiting for things to happen. Things didn't start happening fast enough to suit me. So I'm out there trying to do everything I can. I'm going to do it. Oh. Failed miserably. Was a hypocrite. I love God, but I was doing it in my strength. If you're not going to help me, I'm going to do it myself. My nephew would say when he was younger, I'll buy myself. I caused more damage to the kingdom than you could imagine. Because at that point, it wasn't about what God wanted. It was all about me. Standing in the limelight. Wearing a title like a banner. Oh. Foolish. Silly. We try in those situations. Hey, folks, every one of us probably has an example we can relate back to in our lives where we know somebody said, I'm called to go do something. I'm not questioning the call. What I'm questioning, because I've walked it out in my life, is the timing. Jesus was 30 years old before he started his ministry. Oh, but don't you know I'm special? I have a special dispensation. Don't you understand? I can do this now. No. Silly man. Silly man. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our thoughts are foolishness. We try very hard to get or expect God to agree with our thoughts and our understanding and our way. I believe back in Proverbs it says, with all your getting, or with all your, when getting wisdom, with all your getting, get understanding. You want wisdom in your life? Seek God. And seek God for someone else. What I mean by that is using the example of Solomon. I don't mean that you have a right to seek God for somebody else's life in the respect of their direction. But I mean seeking their good. Seeking for their good. Ruling, if you want to rule, rule your life and ask God to help you rule for somebody else. Husbands, that's what His Word says. That's how we love our wives. We don't rule over them. We rule for them. Protect them. Wash them with the water of the Word. See? How can you do that if you go by this earth's philosophy in these days? You can't. Because the philosophy is, take care of number one. The only thing important today in most people's lives is what I think is right and wrong. Which basically says, they kick God to the curb. But He doesn't lay down and die. He causes His presence to rise up in those who love Him with all their heart, who want to do His will, and in doing His will, receive the benefits of God, which causes that light to shine brighter than it's ever shone in your life before, and causes men to see and be drawn to it, and causes men to come to you and I and ask of the hope that's within us. And what's our command in that? Always be ready to give an answer of that hope that's within you when you're asked. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, this world is not going to, as far as the way we think about it, to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
God's got a plan.
Right.
And my Bible says, just like yours, if you look at it, it says, not one jot or tittle will pass away until all has been fulfilled.
Right.
And folks, it still says in the end of the book, we win if we follow Him.
Amen.
And they lose. Not God's plan, but God's righteous. When Adam and Eve committed treason against God in the garden, well, Bill, what are you talking about? God gave them dominion. He gave them something of Himself, told them to rule and reign in this earth. And they turned around and gave it to an alien, which gave him a legal right to be in this earth, even though he had no right prior to that. He was just here. Because Jesus said He saw Him in Luke fall from heaven. That word fall is not a good word to be in the book, folks. You look at it. When he says, I saw Lucifer like lightning fall from heaven, it means he saw him cast out like grief lightning. It was instant. There was no hesitation. And because they gave up what God had given to them, Jesus had to come through the righteous plan of God to redeem back that dominion. Thus, he's telling us in this day and age, rule and reign in this life. Take that dominion back. Don't be a wallflower. Get out there. I'm not saying you have to become an activist and go stand on the street corners and shout your belief. But I'm saying when God opens the door and when people come in your path, you let them know where you stand. We sing the song, Hear us, O spirits of darkness, so you will know where we stand. We're His. We're bought by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? When do we start acting like it? We sing the song, God's got an army marching through the land. When are we going to start marching, folks? Again, I'm not telling you to go and become an activist or stand on a street corner or walk into somebody's office unless God tells you to. I'm saying let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
And by doing those good works, that's what you're doing, is glorifying your Father which is in heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many times have we heard in our lives, bless God, you do it my way or it's the highway? And yet God's been saying that to us every day of our life. You've got a choice. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I encourage you, choose life. My thoughts and plans for you are to bless you, not to harm you, to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. It doesn't come by following your dreams and your plans. It comes by following God's. And along the way, what you'll find is some of the desires you have, God will fulfill those just because He's your Father and He loves you. But they come when you focus on Him. If you've been wondering why you're not hearing from God the way you used to, or you're not hearing from God the way you want to, maybe it's time we checked ourselves. Maybe it's time we started to look around. The Bible says heaven and earth declare the glory of God. All you got to do is look around and you can see God's hand moving. You can see God in everything. Young Carlos, looking at this baby, the realization slams in on him like a ton of bricks, and he realizes this cannot happen by accident or by evolution. It's too intricate. It has to be a plan. It can't possibly accidentally happen. How do you know what I'm talking about? We are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Word says. God's plan. And when it's God's plan and we follow it, what was His comment in Genesis? It's finished and it's good. Amen? It's finished and it's good. I don't care what area of your life it is. If there's an area in your life where you're suffering, you better examine and find out whether you're doing what God wants you to do or you're operating on your own knowledge and your own thoughts and intents. In Hebrews it says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word quick means alive. So it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Big difference, folks. Spirit is what God places in us. And our spirit cries out to do the will of the Father. But our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, which God gave us, it's not bad. It's what we allow it to do in us or what credence we give to it that causes God's plan to be thwarted. So we have to let our spirit be dominant. And if it means taking yourself in the woodshed and giving yourself a good thrashing, whatever that means and however God works that out with you, then do it. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens and chastises every son. And it's not to harm you, it's to help you. It's to cause you to grow, it's to cause you to mature. And I don't know about you, listen, how many know? There's been studies done. You can take two normal, healthy babies. Both in perfect, perfectly formed, perfectly, I mean, they're perfect in every way. And you can take one, and you can give it everything it needs as far as food, changing its diapers, washing it, putting it to sleep, but never have any intimate interaction with that child, and that child will die as dead as if you killed it yourself. But the child who gets the nurture along with the necessary things, the love, the speaking to, the intimate holding, cooing, tickling, playing with, the words of comfort, the words of love, that child thrives. I don't know now, maybe I'm crazy, but somewhere I thought I read that we are the children of God if we know Him. And our Father is trying to, if we'll listen, nurture us so that we don't just get the basic necessities of life, in which case we will pass away, folks. How many know what I'm talking about? Are you hearing? I pray that you've got ears to hear what God's trying to say today. God gave us commands for our good and not for our harm. And in closing, I want to read two passages out of Proverbs. Proverbs 14:12. And it's repeated again in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 16. I'm going to read 25 through 33. I want to just throw out verse 18 real quickly. It said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Oh, man. Our earthly pride is going to get us into more trouble than we ever imagined. And it's going to take more from us than we ever thought we could have ever gleaned or gained from it. 25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The person who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth, drives him on. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. The perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates best friends. A violent man entices his neighbor, and he leads him in a way that is not good. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He pursues his lips and brings about evil. Purses his lips and brings about evil. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory, if it is found in the way of righteousness. The lot is cast into the lap, but its very decision is from the Lord. Not the perverse man, the just and righteous man who doesn't seek his own way, his own will, or his own desires, but who seeks God. Who seeks God. I don't know about you. I can't live without hearing from God. I can't live without direction. Amen? I want His direction in my life. Once again, John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus approaching the water that day, He must increase and I must decrease. Oh, I'll tell you what, man, this flesh, because of all we've been taught, wants to keep us out of the presence of God. Because it's all about us when we seek our flesh desires and will. When you seek God, it's always for the benefit of somebody else. And when you seek God, according to Matthew 6:33, with all of your heart, and look to His righteousness, seek His kingdom and His righteousness, all of the things that you desire will be added unto you. But not only that, it'll change your desires from your desires, selfish desires I'm talking about, to the desire for Him, and then all of the things that you desire will be added unto you. If He's first. If He's first. It'd be great if we had a magic pill we could just pop and all of a sudden things would be right in our lives. It's not that way. Salvation is new every day. His mercies, His grace, fresh and new every day. It's a new fight and a new warfare every day. The only fight we have is to keep our mind in submission to His will, His purposes, and His plans. And the way you do that, you can't get away from it, folks. No matter where you come from, no matter how you approach it, always come back to one thing. Surrender yourself to Him. And then all of these good things will be added to you. You've got to give up your desires and how you're going to fulfill those desires like I tried to. Many people have gone out with a call of God on their life, whether it's to be a missionary in Africa. The zeal overwhelms them. Zeal's good. We don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose our first love. We don't want that fire to quit burning. But when you go out of His timing, it can dash your hopes. It can dash your faith. The hour is coming, and now is. And now is when we're going to see God's hand move more than any time in history. And even though this world is falling apart around us, and even though the odds seem astronomically overwhelming to us, we're in the palm of His hand. And He says, nothing will take you or pluck you out of my hand. He's got our name written in the palm of His hand. I want His name written on my forehead. You want a tattoo? That's the tattoo I want. Now, one that may not be seen with natural eyes, but is definitely discerned because of my life and my lifestyle. Because I want their benefit. Even though they seek my destruction, I want their benefit. And their benefit only comes from one place. And is only going to be seen when you and I surrender to Him totally. That's not going to happen overnight. God wants us to run the race, but He didn't say you would win the race. He said run the whole race. And in that you have won the race. Because your focus has been stayed on Him. Set your face like a flint, the Word says. Don't turn back. He says, the man who sets his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What's going to be on your epitaph? You serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you loved your neighbor as yourself. You didn't desire your own, but you desired somebody else's best interest, mainly God's best interest in what His plan was? Or is it going to be they fell short because they couldn't get over themselves? People went missing because we didn't do our job. I found the biggest stinkers in life, the ones who gave me the most problems, the ones who fought against me the most, were the ones that God yanked out of the fire. I remember wondering one time after high school, God, what was it all for? Why did I stand up for You? Why did I proclaim You? Why did I carry my Bible? What good did it do? Standing in a bookstore in the city of Denver, One day a man walks in and I recognize him. We begin to converse and I say, you know, I know you. I think we went to school together. He said, yeah, we did, Bill. Folks, I'm giving the credit to God. Please, don't put your eyes on me. Put your eyes on God. Even though you may not think there's going to be a reward, or you don't see the reward. God's doing things, folks. You can bank on it. You can bank on it. And this man says to me, I'm serving God today and I'm a pastor because you didn't bow and you didn't bend. I despised you. I hated you. I ridiculed you. I made fun of you. But I'm serving God today because you didn't lose your stand. What's more important to you, folks? His salvation? Or your rights? Your plans? Your thoughts? See, that's what God calls jewels in our crown. It's by His plan, not by my plan. See, you don't understand when you walk through this life by what you say and by your actions who you're touching. Whether it's somebody you're in direct contact with or somebody who's standing back watching you. They've heard something about you. You're one of those, a Christian. And yet, they look at your life without you saying a thing. Your Bible says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. That word conversation is not what you think it is. Your first thought goes to the words that I speak. No. You look it up. It's lifestyle. It's lifestyle. Your lifestyle is going to say volumes about who and what you are. The Pharisees and Sadducees thought they'd be heard for much speaking. They were hypocrites, Jesus said. Their mouths were open sepulchres. They were snakes and vipers. Everything they did to be seen and be glorified themselves. God shares His glory with no man. So when I tell you about the story like that, like I just told you about that young man, Paul Robles, that's not to lift me up. That's to lift up God and thank Him that no matter what I saw or what I thought, God was working. And because He worked in me to stand and not to give in, that man's serving God today. He gets all the honor and all the glory and all the credit. I don't understand why I'm standing before you. Some of you know, you've heard me say this. When Stan came to me and said, Bill, I want you to be the assistant pastor. And my first thought was, God, do you know what you're doing? You remember who you're talking about here? The one who's made a mess of things? The one who had his own agenda? The one who hurt people in the kingdom because of his foolishness? My motive was pure, but my actions were wrong. All I wanted to do was do what God wanted me to do. But I was going to do it in my own strength and steam. I thought my ministry was over. Just like when my kids, everybody told me, you'll never get custody of your kids. You'll never get custody of them. Well, everybody forgot to ask God what His thoughts were.
Right.
And I didn't even have to fight. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. God's plan will be fulfilled if your heart is after Him. And you will see and you will learn and understand that you are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. And you are more than a conqueror through Him and because of Him. So this day, once again, life and death, blessing and cursing is beset before us. What are we going to choose today? Twice in recent years, a lot of you know, some of you don't know, there's been a woman come into my life. One that I've known forever. I met in church, fell in love with her. Through the plan of the enemy and my foolish stupidity and my ignorance of the word, I lost her. And then God brought her back. And through the plan and the attack of the enemy, about the time that I thought God has finally brought the one that was really meant for me, she's gone. But you know why? And this isn't a negative, folks, because the whole time in both instances I went to God and I said, God, if there's anything in this that I don't see, if there's anything in this with my exuberance and my want, my desire, then, Lord, you close it down, you shut it down, and you stop it, because I don't want anything to take my focus off of you. I'm not going to tell you what the outcome was. Those people are gone. Ask some of the people in this room what the reaction was on their part, because I didn't bat an eye. My face was set like a flint. Wasn't it? I never turned back. I never looked back. And I don't regret it one minute. God's got a plan.
Right.
And my focus is on Him. I was talking to somebody this morning about that. God's got a plan. If my focus is on Him, He's going to do it. Now you do what He tells you to do. In my case, I'm not looking anymore. I messed up twice. I'm not going to make a third mistake. And that doesn't mean that means you have to do it exactly the way I do it. It means you need to listen to God. And you can't hear God if you're trying to figure out how you're going to do it or what your next step is. How many know what I'm talking about? Did this help anybody this morning?
Yes.
Did you get anything out of this morning?
Yes.
Folks, it's our benefit that we serve Him and serve Him according to His ways and His thoughts, not our thoughts and understanding. He'll give us the right understanding. He'll put the right thoughts there if we seek Him. And then we're going to see Him move and see these things fulfilled in our lives. Why? Because we're so great? No. But because He loves us and because we're in obedience of what He's told us to do. And because He's so great. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me. I want to give everyone an opportunity. If there's anyone here who needs prayer, if you just want to lean over to somebody and say, will you pray with me, or whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. I'm not going to call you up here. We don't necessarily think it's wrong, but we don't necessarily believe that you got to come running up here to have something happen. Standing right where you are, if you look God right in the face and say, God, I want to be that person that you're using. I want to be that person that you can trust to do your will. It's going to hear your voice and obey. It's going to be ready when the opportunity presents itself, no matter what the circumstance is. Then right where you are, just tell Him in your words. You make the commitment. It's between you and Him. It's your choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Father, we love You. We thank You. You're so cool. You're so awesome. Mere words can't describe, Lord, the love, the trust that we have in You and that we can have if we'll listen to You. And if we'll do what Your Word says, crucify our flesh with its affections and lusts. Seek You with our whole heart. I speak blessing on every person in this room today, Lord. I speak direction, Lord. I thank You for Your direction and correction, Lord, in Your Word. I thank You that You chasten those who You love, Lord. Every person in this room is loved by You. Give them that vision, Lord. Give them that understanding. Give them that insight. Let them see, Lord, how much they're loved. You care enough to point out the way rather than to let us go into destruction when we head out on a bad road. We're loved. We thank You for that. And we proclaim our love for You, Lord. We thank You that You labor with us. We're not in this by ourselves. You've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Thank You, Lord. We praise You. Now, Lord, touch each person in that area where this message has touched their life. Your words have touched their life, Lord. Not my words. Your words. We ask for that to be sealed in them by the Holy Spirit. And those words, Lord, that were mine, I ask You, Father, with all of my heart, let them fall to the ground and die. They're not important. They're not significant. Your Word is the only thing that matters. Your presence is the only thing that matters. Your will, Your desire, And your kingdom is the only thing that matters, Lord. It's about you, Lord. It's about your kingdom. It's about others. In losing our lives, we gain it, Lord. We know this by your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when we leave here today, not one of us will be the same. But we'll diligently listen and obey to your word. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, all honor, and all glory in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen.
Amen.
Be blessed. Don't forget the fellowship afterwards. Hallelujah.